most important element of this is that it was an initial step to recognize the formality of an established sovereignty of an indigenous nation. So that stands out just as much as other nations in the Americas had made some types of agreements, such as treaties with the United States government, even Canada, and as well as Mexico. So at one point in time, you could look at it as understanding the formality of a sovereign nation. So that's the important element of this treaty for not only the Crow people, but all the indigenous people of the Americas. And at the same time, it is also at best one of the prime examples of the inability of the United States to keep their word with some of the on-site and interactive or person-to-person representatives. Some of the transcripts, as well as the documentation of the event, was taking place in North Dakota in Mandan Village. At that time, prior to that, in the late 1700s, there was territory that was that the Crow had camped within the now municipality of the Mandan, North Dakota city that's across the river of the Missouri near Bismarck. And at further upstream to the south of the mouth of the Knife River was another established Crow Indian village. So some of these villages, also those maps were eliminated from history. Even near Bismarck was an establishment of Iowa Indians, but they were classified as Anahawe. And so when you write it out phonetically, you could see that these people who are now down in Oklahoma were tied by the Sioux and foundation of their language to the Hidatsa Crow Mandan. And due to smallpox of that era, most of them were decimated, but some of them had taken in by the Hidatsa general.
And if that's the case, the rest of the Crow bands not being there present at the treaty signing, I mean, what does that mean? What do you see going forward?
Well, what I see is that if they were visiting with some of the primary chiefs of one band of Zipsalogan, like Longhair, or some of the other chiefs at that time, sits in the middle of the land, they were not acknowledged, they did not have any input, and the whole process of articulating viewpoints from other leadership was excluded, and that they may have not been told. They may have been put on the spot. They could have been at a point where when they understood the interpretation of friendship, that the term friendship as friend is more formal among the Crow and the Hidatsa, and it's more like a person who is very close, who knows you better than your siblings and even your own parents. And this person will go to bat for you thick and thin and will be always constantly at your side, and somebody that you can trust to almost limitlessly. Today we look at social media and everybody has some kind of friend, but it contradicts the formality and ceremonial and the worldview of the Crow when they see friend in mainstream, and they're just a friend isn't that type of friend that we knew in customary times, in historic times, in what we see today. There were times when I was little that I was introduced to a friend in a ceremony at the old roundhouse twice, and I made friends with two people, and I remember those ceremonies, and it was almost like an adoption. And that friend was basically somebody who went to war with you, went was by your side. Well, that's not what somebody does on social media. They might be critical, they might be maybe sometimes uninformed of the cultural background of the meaning of friend. So at that time, if somebody translated friend to a Crow, their presumption of a friend is somebody who's going to be thick and thin with them, going to be at their side, is going to not back down, and somebody that's not going to lie to them, like what the outcome of some of these treaties. So there's a great, tremendous misdefinition of the friendship term of title in that treaty. So when somebody's, oh, I'm going to be your friend, you take it seriously. You take it like this is somebody that you're going to trust unendingly. And so then if you told the Crow back in that era that we're going to do a formality called friendship, they took it seriously, and they didn't include maybe those other bands of Crow and the other leadership, because they were thinking themselves that this group of officers were making an attempt behind the people who they represent, the United States, were going to be their friend. And so there was a tremendous misinterpretation of the title itself and the context and the worldview of the Apsaloga. And those are the points that I wanted to point out, that you think that, you know, when somebody like they over in Washington, when they went through and ratified some of this information that they edited, they took out some of the what they had felt was not in the favor of the U.S. in the original document, and some of the people were victimized. And that, I'm not just saying the Crow, but there were other tribes that had negotiations with treaties with the United States, and they took whatever they felt would be best interpreted for their own economic interests, their own strategic interests, as well as opening the door to commerce and also forcing many of these people without their knowledge on legal documents to compromise their land base.